What if a persecution is what we're talking about today? Living a life of persecution. The whole book of 1 Peter is written in the umbrella over it of suffering and whatnot. And he kind of drops a few hints, kind of has a few, lighter talks about suffering. And now he's just getting into it here in the last few chapters about living a life as a Christian. You are going to be persecuted. But before we really get into the text today, I just kind of want to see what you guys have learned about who Peter was. Here's a few things that we've gone over the last few weeks. A couple facts about him. Peter was a fisherman. He was also a businessman. He followed in his father's footsteps, if you will. And he was an apostle. He became a disciple through the call of Jesus. Now, he received a call. He left his stuff behind, and he followed. He later became the chairman of the disciples, if you will. He became the leader. How do we know that? Well, in that culture, his name was always listed first. You listed the leaders first. Pretty simple. He knew a few things about persecution. We've read the rest of the story, I hope, and you know that he has suffered in a lot of ways. He publicly denied Christ because of persecution. Jesus was arrested. He was beaten. Hey, weren't you with that guy? No, I wasn't. Three times. He later repented of that. Peter was also martyred by crucifixion. He died for his faith. Tradition says he was crucified upside down because he asked to be that way because he didn't feel worthy to die as Christ had died. And the letter that we are reading is called a general epistle. And it means it is not written to a specific church, but it's written to Christian believers. So that's kind of some of the facts that we've talked about the last few weeks. But the big idea today is don't find it strange you are persecuted. Don't, as Christians, we just can't go, well, that was weird. Why'd they do that to me? I'm going to tell you right now, people of this world don't understand the way we live. They think we're strange. They think we're weird. And you know why? Because of Jesus. Our life has a different outlook, a different worldview. We look at things through the eyes of Jesus. And when you do that, people who don't have that same worldview look at you and they go, what? The people in this world right now that constantly say, you have to tolerate us. You have to put up with us. You have to do stuff. When it comes to us, they will not tolerate what we believe, what we do, and the way we live our lives. It's kind of hypocritical. You know? But don't find that strange when it happens. When you're reading the newspaper and you see some Christian being persecuted, don't go, well, I wonder why that's happening. The Bible says it's going to happen. Peter says it over and over again. Don't be surprised. So church, don't find it strange. Don't come into my office and go, Kelly, my boss is treating me bad because I want to pray. I'm going to say, yeah, keep praying. Keep doing it. Keep living. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. It'll be on the screen, right, Hunter? Yeah, I get the thumbs up back there. Verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised. Do not be surprised. At the fiery trial when it comes upon you, to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is a time for judgment to begin at the house, at the household of God. If it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who did not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this text of Scripture from Peter. He tells us not to find it strange when weird things happen to us because this world doesn't believe what we believe. Father, allow us to stand firm in our faith. And when we are persecuted, I ask you to allow us to rejoice, because your name is glorified when we rejoice. Father, bring on the persecution. Purify us and make us new today. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Persecution is a strange thing. Especially if you've been a Christian a while, it's a little bit different. Because you're living your life, you're on the straight and narrow, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and then something, well, somebody throws a roadblock out there. Whatever it may be. And you step back and you go, what's going on? It's persecution. So number one today, don't be surprised if you're persecuted or if you have to suffer. It's going to happen. We're going to suffer. Most of our apostles, you know, you guys are like, is this evangelistic? Yes. Our lives are different. We live a different set of parameters than the world does. But believers often do not understand why they have to suffer. Why does God allow suffering? Instead, when they suffer, they're surprised. They're astonished. They wonder why God doesn't protect them. Why no one told them about this. The thing is, Jesus tells us, he goes, count your cost. The person's gonna have a farm and they're gonna have a grain bin. They gotta have a grain bin big enough to put all the stuff in. Count your cost. If you go to battle, what do you have to have? Enough troops to make it through. Count your cost. If you're gonna be a Christian, know who you're following. Know what it requires out of you. Know who your leaders are. Know what you believe. And if you don't believe something, find somebody, ask the right questions, count the cost. A genuine believer in this world realizes that this world is corrupt. They're not surprised by it. Sin once had a stranglehold on us. And God called us out of the darkness, out of the pit of despair, out of sin, and he did what? He saved us. What would the song just say? Our sin has been erased. I'll never be the same. You know, he's brought us back. He's made us new. He's made us alive. He allows us to see the world in a different way. And as Christians, we mourn for the world. We look at the world and we go, it's not right. The one thing is, we're not surprised by it. We're not surprised by it. The world doesn't understand the demands of Christ for self-denial. Give up your life. Come follow me. Take up the cross and follow me. We're not just saying words. We're taking the steps. We're called to take up the cross. We're called to follow in Jesus' footsteps. That's not to say, yeah, let's follow Jesus. Let's take up our cross. I had a rough day today. Let's take it up my cross. I'm going to go home. I'm going to put my feet up. I'm going to have some bonbons. And I'm going to have a soda. And I'm going to watch Dr. Phil. He'll make it all better. That's not taking up your cross. We were talking about this in Sunday school today. I said, taking up your cross is following Jesus and joining the march of death. We are walking to our execution. When you become a Christian, you're saying to yourself, I'm going to die for this. It's all or nothing. You're going into a spiritual battle. And I don't know, I haven't talked to too many people who have been at war that come back and said, man, that was easy. Because I just thought it was. Man, I joined the battle, but I didn't have to really fight. That doesn't happen. We join the battle, the spiritual battle. We go into war. There are going to be casualties. People are going to be martyred. Peter was martyred. He is writing this from experience. He was whipped. He was put into jail. He saw things. Life is going to be tough, church. And it's going to get tougher, and it's going to get tougher for us. Pick up a newspaper. You're going to see some stuff going on. What happened to that fire chief this week? He got fired because he wrote a personal book of morality, and he gave it. Some people in there talked about homosexuality a little bit, and sexual sin. He lost his position. Huh? What happened to freedom of speech? What happened to freedom of expression? We follow Jesus. People don't like that. People don't like that. And we're going to suffer because of that. You know? So when a person really begins to live for Jesus, the world wants little to do with them. We get separated. It may be next door with our neighbors. It may be in the office where you work. It may be in the school where you go. It may be in the government which has authority in your life. Then another 100 places it may be. The Christian is often avoided. I remember going to college at Nebraska Christian College when I was in Norfolk. And if you wanted a job somewhere, all you had to say was, no, I go to school at Nebraska Christian College. If you go down to Omaha and you ask some of those students, do you have a hard time finding a job? Yeah. And I go, why? Well, because we put on our application, I go to school at Nebraska Christian College. They don't want Christians working for them because they don't like what we believe. Don't be surprised at that. Don't be surprised at that. It's going to get worse and worse and worse until Jesus comes back and takes us to be home. On that day when he is most glorified, Christians will be glorified along with him. We will receive a reward. So the big question is, why does God allow believers to suffer persecution? The first verse tells us that he allows it for one basic reason: to test, to try, and to prove us. We're going to suffer so we can come out on the other side stronger. My dad always used to say, if it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger. Think about that for a little bit. In this case, it might kill you. But you're going to be stronger. Because we also, as Christians, realize that the life doesn't end at the grave. Life goes on for eternity with Jesus. Or, in some cases, without Jesus. We believe that heaven is real, and we believe that hell is real. There is no middle of the road. There are so many Christians walking the middle of the road. And they're surprised when bad stuff happens to them. Church, it's all or nothing. We got to jump in head first. Follow Christ like he's the air that we need. Like he's the water that we drink. And live like it. Persecution measures our faith. It tests us. Oh yeah? Put your money where your mouth is. You know? I think about Columbine. We all remember that, right? That high school girl tested. You believe in Jesus? Yes, bang. You know, I always ask myself, where would I be if that question? question was asked of me. I hope I will say, oh yeah, I do. But I don't know until I'm there. That's being honest. We have to live our life in a way that when we get to that point, we'll say that. Suffering persecution for a Christian shows how strong or how weak your faith really is. Persecution proves our faith. And here's the other part of persecution. It actually attracts others to Christ. It attracts others to Christ. People in this world today love authenticity. They love things that are real. There is so much wishy-washiness out there. And when they see somebody die for their faith, most people that were persecuting them end up dying with them. I mean, there's those books, Jesus Freaks and Fox's Book of Martyrs. Just to hear the testimonies of the guards that held the person when they were shot or when they were hung or whatever, and they just continued to worship God. It changed their life. Think about the thief on the cross who is dying justly next to a man who is dying unjustly. And what does he do? He asks for forgiveness. Why? Because he saw the cross of Christ. When people see the cross in our lives, they are attracted to that. When they see us suffer and glorify God, they are attracted to that. Point two today is rejoice in persecution. When those people see us rejoice in the face of suffering, attracted. Let me tell you, it's difficult to rejoice in persecution, suffering, and pain. You know, and none of us know how that's going to happen when we get there. But man, I've seen some great examples in my life. I've seen strong, mature followers of Jesus die for some disease. A couple things that I've noticed is they always die with a smile on their face, with loved ones around them. Even though there's cries of sorrow, most of the tears are tears of joy. Because they know they're going to heaven, and they have the legacy of that person, because that legacy of that person is Christ. Wow. No person likes to suffer. No person likes to be abused. No person likes to have pain. No person likes to be isolated. No person likes to be ridiculed. You know what? Nobody likes to be picked last. But you know what? Jesus has called us. He has showed us the way. He's asked us to rejoice not in the suffering that you're going through, suffering, because his suffering set you free and made you alive. His way to the cross. Peter gives us two things to keep in mind while we're suffering. He says the first one is, when we suffer, we are sharing in Christ's sufferings. When you're suffering, we remember Jesus, God, came from heaven, came to earth, and did what? Suffer. Came as our example. Remember that. Remember the path that you were on. He was rejected by men because he proclaimed the righteousness and the salvation of God. So when you are persecuted for living and proclaiming the righteousness and the salvation of God, you are in good company. You are, in fact, following Jesus. You have become identified with him. You are now living in him. So when they persecute you, they are persecuting Jesus because he is your identity. Wow, as I think about this sermon, Made Alive really goes along with it, doesn't it? we suffer, number two, when we suffer, we will be greatly rewarded when Christ returns in glory. Matthew 5, 12 through 19. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, almost persecution is a road sign in the Christian life. If you're persecuted for Christ, you are probably on the right path. Right now, you're sitting here going, you're talking gibberish to me. Check your faith. Check your faith. Why aren't I being persecuted? Why aren't I suffering for my faith? Where is your faith? How strong is your faith? Number three today, do not bring on suffering and persecution upon yourself by breaking the law or doing evil things. How does he say it? But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Man, they threw me in jail. I killed somebody. I'm going to suffer as a Christian. It's kind of ridiculous, ain't it? I was trying to go to church, and I got a speeding ticket. Oh, woe is me. I'm suffering for the gospel. That's not suffering for the gospel. That's being irresponsible. You didn't get up in time. You didn't get people ready in time. You were speeding. You're going to get a ticket. I got sent to the principal's office because I was talking in class. Well, I was talking about Jesus. But we're supposed to be, yeah, we're taking a test. You know? My boss keeps getting upset with me because I keep talking about other people. And I'm really suffering. You know, a person violates the law or harms others, they deserve to suffer. If you kill someone, you deserve to go to jail and pay your consequences. If you speed, you deserve to pay the fine. That's the way it is. This is not suffering for Christ's name. Suffering for Christ means that a person is persecuted because he is living for and proclaiming the name of Christ. Therefore, a believer is not to bring suffering upon himself or herself. Not to suffer as a murderer. Not supposed to take the life of another person. The Bible forbids that. In fact, he is never to become unjustly angry or demean another person. The believer is not to suffer as a thief. It's not to steal. No matter how bad you want it or need it. The believer is not to suffer as a busybody, a troublemaker, or a meddler, however you want to look at that translation. No believer is to interfere in the life or the affairs of anyone else unless you're holding them accountable. And you go to them and you say, this bothers me about your life. It's never good to go to 10 other people and say, I don't like how this person's living. Look at them. That's the line of accountability. You've crossed over from deeply caring about somebody to becoming a meddler. Church, we're supposed to live together. We're supposed to walk together. We're called to suffer together. Because we're a family. We're all members of one body, and when one person's hurting, the others should be hurting too. The others shouldn't hurt part of the body. Number four, keep on doing good when you suffer and commit yourself to believer's suffering is the will of God. God wants us to suffer. Well, that's kind of a mean God. No, it's not. He did it too. The world doesn't want us. The world doesn't like us. We're crazy in their eyes. The best term I heard for Christians living counterculturally is the world thinks we're wing nuts. We're just We're nuts. We're out of our mind. Paul even says, if I'm out of my mind, let it be for you because of Christ. Let the world think, I am crazy. It's the will of God. Because we are giving glory to Jesus through those sufferings. So, when we're suffering, there's two things that we must keep doing. The first one is, we must keep doing good. When we suffer, keep loving people, having compassion on people. Keep sharing and proclaiming the name of Jesus with others. Keep doing the right thing. Keep moving forward in your faith. And the other thing is, to commit yourself to God. Sometimes as Christians we think, you know what? I committed myself when I became a Christian. I went into the waters of baptism. I committed to myself then. You know what? In this world, the things that we see, the things that we read just in the newspaper, we need to continually commit ourselves to God. It should be a daily thing. The word commit means to deposit or to entrust into the hands of a trusted friend or banker. We commit our money to whatever bank we go to. You commit your life to God? You entrust Him with it? God, I know I'm going to suffer. I know that there's sickness and illness in this world because of sin and the curse, but I'm still going to follow You every day. I'm going to seek Your face. I'm going to live to glorify You. Church, we don't hear this enough, but God can be trusted. Our God is a faithful God, and He's laying out His plan for us. Trust Him in that. Commit yourself. Because the question really comes down to, are you committing yourself to God, or are you just contributing yourself? Well, I went to church 3 times this month. Doing pretty good. I hit the big ones. I hit Christmas. I was there Christmas Eve. Oh, Good Friday, Easter. You know, check, check, check. I write down my tithe check, put that in. You know, we can all go through the motions. That's the easy part. But to commit yourself, to entrust yourself, when you're on the street and someone, I don't know, sticks a gun in your back, how are you going to answer? Someone says, you can't do that. You can't bring your Bible to work. You can't do that at lunchtime. What are you gonna do? You can ignore it. Keep on doing good. Rejoice in that suffering. You can fight it. Which is just going to make matters. Commit yourself to the cause of Christ. Not just one time in your life, but daily. Daily. I found this quote from a professor at the Moody Bible Institute. It says, iron, until thoroughly beaten, is incapable to be wrought. So God sees it good to cast some men into the furnace of affliction, and then beats them on His anvil into what frame He pleases. Another way of saying this, He is the potter, we are the clay. The truth of the matter is, some of us are going to have great lives, we're going to hit a few speed bumps, and we're going to die, we're going to be with Him in glory. On the other side of the coin is, some of us are not only going to hit speed bumps, but we're going to hit some potholes, we're going to fall into those potholes, take a long time to get out of those potholes. And we can't wait to die if we're in that boat and go be with Him in glory. But the fact of the matter is, both people have committed themselves and they're moving forward. They're moving forward. Walking by faith is difficult, but our faith pleases Jesus. And He sent the Counselor to be with us, so we are not alone. Spirit. He's never going to give us too much. He's never going to give us anything that we can't handle. and we're going to walk because he is walking with us and he has already set the path out before us. Our wise, sovereign, loving Lord walks with us always. And he walked the path first. When he says, take up your cross and suffer and die with me, he's not asking you to do anything that he already hasn't done. Church, if we're going to do life and we're going to live in this world that is an anti-Christian world, we have to do life in such a manner that it glorifies God. And that starts simply with committing your life to Christ. You have to commit your life and then live it. Live like you would every day. Whether you hit a speed bump, hit a pothole, run into a wall, whatever, you keep moving forward. Someday you'll see the reward of that. What happened after Jesus suffered? What happened after he died? When they went to the tomb 3 days later, what happened? It was empty. You know why? Because he was alive. He beat sin. He beat death. He's alive right now. If you're a Christian, that is your identity. You're made alive. Not like going through the womb again and coming out. When you die, you have life eternal. That's our promise. That's our hope. Church, we need to live in that daily. Minutely. Is that even a word? That's what has to happen. I don't know where you are today. And I don't know how you're doing with 1 Peter. I read some of this stuff. I like struggle. You know, some of that stuff's hard. You know, and people say, well, we've never gone through the book of 1 Peter before. I go, because it's hard. It's hard, but church, we can't be scared of the hard things. Why? Because it gives us advice. It shows us how to do life, how to apply Scripture, how to walk. Church, we can't do it alone. We need Jesus and we need each other. Let's commit today to follow Christ and hold each other accountable. When one person suffers, let's all feel it. If we're going to suffer, let's suffer together. Let's do the right thing. Today, if you need some prayer, if you need to recommit yourself, if you have a testimony you want to share, that God was glorified in your life, I invite you to come forward during this next song. You know, because blessed be his name. You know, give him the glory. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you do, all that you have done, and what you're going to do in the future. Father, you are an amazing God, and you don't call us to do anything that you already haven't done. You sent your Son from heaven to earth, from the perfect to the imperfect, from paradise to not even close to paradise. And he lived a perfect life, and he showed us the way, and he died for us. Blessed be his name in all that we do. God, we love you, and we seek you, and we ask you today to break our hearts. Allow us to commit ourselves to you, and allow us to suffer for you, and be persecuted for you. And when we are, allow us just to become more faithful, more strong in our walk. Because God, you are our God, and it is you that we follow. May we inspire the world by the way we follow you. May people just be attracted to you more and more, and begin to ask us questions, and you will give us the right answers. Father, thank you for calling Peter to be one of your apostles, for allowing him to lead, for allowing us to see his imperfections. Father, because we can follow you, and we can lead for you, and we can just live for you. Father, we just love you. Change us and make us new. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's stand this morning and sing.